Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Not as dominant a performance as you could have with the Rockets last night. As we welcome you back in on a Thursday, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. I apologize if I said in headlines that game six is on Saturday. If I accidentally said that, I got a couple texts. Game six is on Friday, 8 o'clock, Friday night. Be there.
Relatively early. That's nice.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah. We went into this series versus the Warriors worried about two things. One, that it is the Warriors after all, and two, crap. Late nights. Last night was nice, especially the Rockets. This is when I did. You know what, Sean? When I felt comfortable, because I had the same worries that everybody else did at halftime, which is, I know it's a really, really nice lead, but it's the Warriors. And this Rockets team still has some young players on it, and they've relinquished some big leads, sometimes with only a few minutes late remaining in the game before. But Kenny Smith almost said almost like it was the 11th commandment that the Rockets are going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
He just said it like it was a fact of life. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. I'll set my mind at ease.
Yeah.
They're going to be just fine.
They didn't let up the start. I mean, they came back in. I guess reportedly, I didn't see Steve Kerr's post-game press conference, but apparently Draymond had gone to Kerr and said, look, let's see if we make a little run here in the first five minutes. And if we don't, then let's live to fight another day.
Credit to Coach Draymond. I think that was going to be Kerr's. That was pretty much the consensus for what you would think Kerr would do anyway. You go out and you see if Curry hits four threes right off the bat or something, then yeah, we're going to keep it in. But then you make the decision that midway through, which he did, midway through the third quarter, he yanks everybody.
Yeah, Kerr brought it up. That's why,
he tried to give a little love to Draymond. He's like, hey, Draymond came up to me and said what I was already thinking, but I'm just going to go ahead and make him feel good about it.
Well, it is funny, like, that Steve Kerr, and I know Steve Kerr is not necessarily, like, saying that the Rockets, the topic that we teased into this was this notion that the Rockets are going after Steph Curry's thumb on his shooting hand. He's been wearing a brace on it. He's had thumb issues. In a few of these games this series, it has not hindered him even a tiny little bit. Like, he's still Steph Curry. It is kind of funny to hear Steve Kerr, like, just even talking about, like, the frustration of teams doing it, even though if it's still within the boundaries of the rule, Kerr is expressing a frustration about it. Anytime Steve Kerr expresses frustration about anything that has to do with physicality or officiating or things that are on the edge, I'm like, dude, Draymond is on your team. Draymond Green is on your team. Just stop it already.
He was okay. So in Kerr's defense, I guess they asked him specifically about that.
Yeah.
And I felt like he said it kind of matter of factly that he doesn't like. They've been doing it all year. It's within the rules that you can hit a guy's hand after the ball is gone, and that they'll probably change it in the offseason. So I didn't think he was particularly criticizing the Rockets. He was saying, hey, this has been happening all year. And yeah, they're doing it. It's within the rules.
God.
Don't play with an injured thumb if you don't want your thumb knocked around.
I hope they don't change it in the offseason. That getting a bunch of calls about the hands hitting each other after the ball is away. Ugh.
Yeah, people will stop doing it though. I think is
I
the
get,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Because then it'll be a judgment call whether it was incidental or intentional.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
If it were any other player whose thumb was getting hit, we wouldn't even be talking about this. But it's the greatest shooter in the history of the game, and his coach is a chronic complainer.
Speaking of fouls,
were
you surprised that Udoka challenged that Şengün foul?
Maybe a little bit. I a little bit.
I mean, I thought it was pretty, like, I thought it was a foul, and then, but at the very least, I thought it was just very close enough and negligible enough that you don't necessarily have to challenge that.
The only reason
half.
I was surprised he challenged it is the analytics of the situation, which is the only thing that you're getting out of is the free, it was an and one. So the two is still going to count. Like, you're only getting out of you're not getting out of a two or a three. You're getting out of one free throw. Like, the math doesn't add up there.
A point in the game where you've got a nice margin and that, all right, if the worst possible thing happens in the second half, save all of those as much as you can.
I wasn't surprised. Like, put it this way, Seth, if it was the fourth quarter and it was a closer game, I would have said, yes, definitely challenge that. Like, it was a marginal foul. It looked like there was more physicality than there actually was because Şengün didn't even really touch Butler until after he had released the ball, and he hit him on his off arm. He didn't even hit him on the shoot. Like, his body hit Butler's off arm. So when I saw the replay, I'm like, eh, he's probably not going to win this challenge. I don't even know why he's doing this, because all you're doing is, if you win it, all you're preventing is a free throw. And I guess a foul on Şengün if you're worried about Şengün getting into foul trouble, but whatever. Like, Şengün hasn't even been... Şengün's been decent in this series. I don't think, you know, like, he's not been as good as some think he's been in this series. But to answer your question, I was a little surprised only because it was just for the and one part of that thing. Like, it wasn't going to negate the basket.
If the ball hadn't, and if the ball hadn't gone in, I mean, also, Şengün touched the rim while the ball was in the air.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
I thought, maybe I saw it wrong, but anyway.
I didn't see that.
So Brooks is not shying away from anybody suggesting that he's intentionally hitting Steph Curry's hand.
He's not. Here's Dylan Brooks when he was asked about it after the game last night.
Dylan, one of the Warriors broadcasters tonight said he thought you were intentionally trying to swipe down on Curry's thumb. And Kerr was asked about it and said it happens around the league, that it's allowed by the rules, so players throughout the league do that. What do you think about that?
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're gonna come play the game injured or whatever, you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So, whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
Yeah, I poke thumbs. That's what he just said. Back away. I'm Dylan Brooks, and I poke thumbs. I poke thumbs.
I poke bears and thumbs.
Those two things, yes.
Can we get a video at some point of Dylan Brooks going around poking things that he's not supposed to poke?
Completely innocuous things, yes.
Or that you're allowed to. Go with one of the guards at the things you can and can't poke.
Right.
And then he goes and does one of the guards at the palace there, Buckingham Palace.
And then he gets
hit with the butt of a rifle.
Yeah, I was going to say. Be careful. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so Dylan Brooks last night, like, he's going to keep doing it. And they know that. You know, Steve Kerr knows that.
It's, I don't know. It's a little bit more of an aggressive version of Shane Battier touching people on their foreheads, you know?
You're
being a constant annoyance. Hey, if Steph Curry had a bruise on his forehead, Shane Battier is not going to stop touching the bruise
that's
on his
what
forehead
he does.
As he shoots.
His hand in your face. Someone points out on the text page here, 713-572-4610, what about back when the Rockets were playing the Warriors in the 2017 playoffs? They didn't play the Warriors in 2017, but whatever. Back in the playoffs, and James Harden had a hurt wrist on his shooting hand. I believe Draymond chopped at it, got a technical foul for doing it, and after the game admitted he did it on purpose. That's true. I saw several people pointing that out on social media last night. Like, this is something the Warriors have done before, too. Yes.
Yeah, the Warriors are not allowed to argue about ticky-tack stuff like this or getting away on the fringes of the rule book. This is the Warriors have been really good at that, and they've got one of the most egregiously violent and illegal defenders in NBA history in Draymond Green. Yep. So there's nobody – listen, trust me. Trust me, Northern Californians. Nobody around the world or within NBA league offices or anything are saying, oh, those poor Warriors.
Right.
Well, yeah, actually, maybe in the NBA league.
Well, this is funny, too. I saw Adam Spillane tweet this. He must have tweeted it last night. I saw it this morning after I woke up. And it's an interesting point that the Minnesota Timberwolves winning that series against the Lakers, that's clearly the less of the two marquee teams in that series, right? Like, it's, like LeBron and Luka. Like, obviously, the Lakers are the marquee team. Spillane's point was that the Rockets, the winner of the Rockets-Warriors series is going to face the Timberwolves, the Rockets may be on the short end of the stick when it comes to the officiating in these upcoming games because the league wants the Warriors. You know, the Warriors are a more, with Steph Curry and all these titles, are a more marquee team than the Rockets. I don't know that they're more fun to watch play. Like, the Rockets are chippy and they run and they're young and they defend and all these things. But the Warriors draw the casual viewer more so than the Rockets do. It's an interesting theory. Spillane even said if they have to put Scott Foster in a wheelchair to get him to San Francisco, they will get him there to officiate that game. I thought that was funny.
I don't buy that. No, 100% in terms of ratings and what have you. Yeah, the Warriors are going to draw way more than the Rockets would. The very thing that make the Rockets competitive is that the fact that nobody knows who their good shooters are because there really aren't any. That at any point, like last night, all the starters scored in the double digits.
Yep,
Jalen Green just squeaked his way into it with 11 points. But I'll credit Jalen Green for first and foremost not turning the ball over. You know, and he made some good decisions. That kick out to Eason for the corner three was very, very nice. He did what he needed to do for a complete team effort. And Amen Thompson was the best version of Amen Thompson.
That was the big thing. Amen Thompson being the best version of himself. Like if you're Jalen, just stay within yourself, man. Like if you feel the game, if you feel the tide starting to turn on your team, or if you feel like the team's getting snowed under, I think there is this pressure on Jalen to feel like he's got to be the guy. And I think that's the hope in the building there, is that he becomes that guy. So I think there's junctures in the game where he feels like, well, I got to go be that guy. And it's not there for him. And that's what's happened in these losses when Jalen's been so bad, is that he takes it upon himself and he's trying to create something that just is not there. And he's turning the ball over.
In a similar vein, we talked about it yesterday, where I feel like in some ways, man, if Jalen Green had been a 20th pick overall, that might have been the best thing for his development. Because instead of just trying to be everything all at once, you got to focus on the things you're good at, get better at those, kind of do it brick by brick by brick. We talked about this with Forrest Whitley, and this was before he...
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
He got injured again. But when Forrest Whitley came in, had his good appearance that he did this year, if you could go back in time and make Forrest Whitley a fifth-round pick or something, he would be this nice story of a guy who's been kicking around in the minors, and now he's 28 years old and he's getting his shot. Like so many other guys, like Ronel Blanco or others, have finally gotten their shot when they're 28, 29 years old, that it would be all right, you know? But you got to somehow divorce yourself from the expectations, and that's what I'm trying to do with Jalen Green. Is that I 100% do not look at him as untouchable anymore.
Mm-mm.
But if they were to bring in Antetokounmpo or Durant or somebody else, and you look at Jalen Green as not a guy who is ever going to be the alpha or the lead dude on your team,
mm-hmm.
he can be a really nice complimentary piece on mm-hmm. this basketball team. It's just that you just got to abandon your expectations of being a high, high pick.
Yeah. Along those lines, Tim McMahon of ESPN had a really good piece, long-form piece, on the Rockets and what the offseason might look like. Now, granted, this dropped yesterday before they won that game. This piece would have been really poignant had the Rockets lost that game last night. If they've lost that game last night, Seth, and lose that series in five, and especially getting eliminated on their home floor, we would be coming in here today, and Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Zion Williamson's name got mixed into this article, Ja Morant. Those would be the names you and I would, and we may be talking about them on Monday, you know, like if the Rockets mm-hmm. get knocked out in six or seven games. But Tim McMahon has a long piece about the Rockets still looking for that star. Like, Şengün is an all-star, but not a superstar. Jalen Green has done some good things. And it's a really interesting piece because Patrick Fertitta, Tillman Fertitta's son, who is, you know, he is basically ownership's representation in the day-to-day operation of the Rockets. Patrick's 30 years old. He is a big part of this interview and this piece. He did a long conversation, and it's very clear that from the Fertittas to Udoka to Rafael Stone, the GM, it's very clear, at least outwardly, that their hope is to get to a championship level with this group. They don't want to have mm-hmm. to bring in reinforcements or bring in a hired gun to get them there. They might need to. You know, they're still teetering on the brink here, down 3-2. to me, I thought the most interesting revelation in this article was this paragraph here. The evaluation of the initial playoff experience for the Rockets' rising young stars will be an important element of those internal discussions. You know, so how the playoffs go, that's going to be a big deal. A blockbuster trade would require the Rockets to give up some of that young talent, although Houston has made it known to other front offices that Amen Thompson is considered untouchable, which I think you asked me that question. Like, you asked me to kind of power rank the Rockets' young assets last week when we were talking about Kevin Durant. And that was my take, was it like, Amen Thompson's not getting traded. Everybody else is in some degree of the conversation. Apparently, the Rockets front office agrees with that. And, I mean, Amen Thompson has a chance to be a super-duper star. He's already elite. He's already one of the five best players in the league on one half of the court. You know, like, he's already an elite defensive player. And it feels like he shows more and more offensively. You know, he knocked down a three last night. Like, if Amen Thompson starts to develop a consistent outside shot, like, look the hell out. Like,
well, and I mean, if you look at where the strengths of this team are right now, like, they're the number five defensive rating team in the league this year. But they're going up against a team that, once Jimmy Butler was added, became one of the very best defenses in the league also. Yeah. The Warriors finished, like, ranked 7th or 8th in defense, but they were top 3 after Jimmy Butler got there. And you just, when you're going up against another team with a good defense and you don't have shooters on the floor, it's great. You've still got that strength. And by and large, you've still limited the Warriors in this series enough you could have the lead right now.
Yeah.
They got to bring in shooters. So I don't want to relinquish Amen Thompson.
No.
Whereas with Jalen Green on the offensive side of things, he's just not putting up what he needs to be putting up in comparison to what you expect out of Amen Thompson.
The four names they threw out there in this article, and again, a lot of it comes down to what do you have to give up to get him. Kevin Durant. A lot of the people have spoken on that. I'm curious what people think. Text in 713-572-4610. I'm okay with Kevin Durant. Again, as long as the package makes sense. Like, they'd have to give up less to get Kevin Durant than they would have to give up to get Giannis. Giannis is 7 years younger and playing at an MVP level. But Giannis's name gets mixed in. I'm curious what people think about Giannis, because he's obviously a great player but doesn't address what this team is worst at, which is shooting. He's a bad foul shooter. He's a bad three-point shooter. He's obviously a freak when it comes to everything else. I have zero appetite for Zion Williamson, who has a great appetite for lots of foods.
Especially in Houston.
Yeah.
You can't go from one fat city to another fat city.
No,
that's not what's going. He needs to go somewhere where there's sparse. I don't know.
Portland.
Maybe somewhere on the West Coast where people eat super. It's If you don't eat super healthy, you're kind of an outcast.
Right. I think like Portland or somewhere like that.
He needs Sacramento. Culture change.
He needs to go to Sacramento, middle of nowhere, California.
Sacramento feels like the least West Coast of all the West Coast cities,
which
though.
Is probably okay. Like, he's just, you know, it's just.
Yeah, but still,
random.
No. He needs to go to a place where people are trendily emaciated. A
lot of kale. Yeah. A lot of kale.
Yeah.
And a lot of.
Yeah,
blood,
where
lot,
at any given,
sprouts.
Like, if you just duck in somewhere, there's.
John.
Yeah, a place that is as few actual barbecue joints and everything as possible.
There you go. John Morant's name gets mixed into this. I got no appetite for John Morant on this team either. If I had to power rank, those four, I would go KD, because I don't think you have to give up as much to get him, and I think he fills a need here. I'd go KD, Giannis, Ja, and Zion. Zion's the one I have the least. Like, Zion gets hurt all the time, and he's fat. And even when you watch him play, like, he scores like 26 or 27 a game, but it's not like a super efficient and very like inclusive 26 or 7, where he's making everybody better around him. Like, no, he's just driving to the rim, making you wonder, how does a guy that fat get up that high? That's amazing.
He doesn't have the ability of a Charles Barkley to be overweight, but still realize your potential greatness.
Yes. No, he's always going to be overweight. Charles at least got in somewhat decent shape from time to time. Devin Booker, someone saying, give me Devin Booker, he fixes the problem. I'm surprised his name didn't get mentioned in that article, but yeah, I think Devin Booker is absolutely in play.
Devin Booker or Kevin Durant, who do you like?
I would have said Kevin Durant a couple of weeks ago, but Jalen's performance in the playoffs has me a little concerned, so Devin Booker has moved back up the board for me. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and a proven playoff performer versus whatever the hell it is Jalen's doing.
Who can go get you baskets? Who's going to do it in a smart way? And, people saying Giannis greater than Kevin Durant. Text message, another one. Give me Giannis. thought about it long and hard and would prefer to give up Şengün, but I would do whatever it takes minus Amen Thompson. I think that's something we all sort of agree on, is that, like, all right, whatever the trade is, don't include Amen Thompson in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Giannis, imagine, I know he doesn't like playing center and whatnot, but if you know, last night the big man lineup yet again yielded greatness for you. Mm-hmm. Imagine the big man lineup plus Giannis.
Oh, geez.
How you feel about that?
Giannis?
Yeah.
Well, they got to bring back old Stevie Ray Adams, because he's a free mm-hmm. agent after this. You bring him back, you trade for Giannis, and you stick him out there with Jabari. Jabari, that's Steven Adams, just a Celtic New Zealand warrior. And two just freakish praying mantises out there with their big long arms. That would be fun, man.
It was weird. It was the last. I don't know why it took me this long to make the comparison, but I was as I was watching Şengün lumber around the court in his very unique lumbering style, where he just still gets to where he needs to get, just so straight legged. I feel like Ursary, the offensive tackle for the Texans. There's a little bit of okay. There's a connection there where, man, I've never liked the way it looks with Şengün. I think that's partly the reason that a lot of people were really reluctant to latch onto Şengün is that I just want his heels to leave the court more often than they do. He's so incredibly flat-footed, even when he's making great shots and what have you. But Ursary is a little bit like that. It doesn't look pretty. It's very stiff-legged, and yet he gets done what he needs to get done.
Yeah,
those two need to start a podcast together.
A podcast, the
flat-footed, stiff-legged, high
gravity feet podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah, Şengün's game is tough to watch sometimes, man. Got bailed out a couple times by the refs last night, I thought. All right, keep weighing in. 713-572-4610. If you give up Şengün, it's another team. You cannot give him up. Okay, I think this texter's trying to say don't trade Şengün. He's not untouchable to me. There's no other than Amen Thompson, and I said this last week before this Tim McMahon article, nobody's untouchable on this team other than Amen mm-hmm. Thompson. He's going to be a star. He already is. All right, we'll circle back to this. Give us your takes, Payne and Pendergast. More follow-up to the Texans draft class. Getting good reviews. This was actually before the draft. This was James Palmer and Steve Smith. Steve Smith, former Pro Bowl wide receiver. They were high on Jaden Higgins before the draft even started. This was the two of them talking about new Texan Jaden Higgins and people around the league saying, hey, can you guys settle down on talking about him, please, so you don't give up the secret?
We are in love with Jaden Higgins. There are people that I talk to in the league that said, I do not want you guys telling everybody what we're seeing, because I want him to slide to us.
We've been seeing a lot of comments in here and say, hey, this is my sleeper. This is my sleeper. This is my sleeper, because I'm wide awake watching this film.
Great job of separation. Can get in and out of breaks, can drop his weight, has ability, physical at the line of scrimmage. He fights through contact. When we compare him to T-Mac, this is what I would love to see T-Mac do, some of these things on a consistent basis where he can fight through getting pressed up. With Higgins, I think that's the difference.
I think somebody's going to sneak into the first round and take him, and everybody else is going to be going, oh,
okay, that was obviously before the draft.
And he's T-Mac is Tet McMillan, so the one of the first round wide receivers. And the physicality part of it is definitely, you know, Steve Smith has talked about that several times. And James Palmer is one of those guys kind of like Daniel Jeremiah, that just genuinely talks to a lot of people in front offices. And it's funny, when he said people had told him to shut up and stop talking about Jaden Higgins, the other guy that that people said that about was Josh Connerly. Josh Connerly, the offensive tackle, was similarly, you know, some of these guys that do podcasts and actually watch film and everything, people were saying, hey, shut up, I kind of like him. So that's interesting, just because yesterday on Texans All Access with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer, Caserio did confirm Albert Breer's report that the Texans were trying to trade back up into the first round.
Yeah.
And Albert Breer had said that the target they thought was Josh Connerly.
Mm.
So there were a couple guys there that had a lot of buzz before the draft, Josh Connerly and Jaden Higgins, that might actually sneak into the first round.
Mm.
And it appears that the Texans were probably in on both of those guys. It is interesting, though, that Nick has a staunch philosophy of not falling in love with individuals. When the Giants came up with that trade proposal at 25, the Texans liked Josh Connerly, most likely. They definitely liked Jaden Higgins. They took the deal because it was a good deal.
Yeah.
The Giants overpaid, which you're allowed to do for a quarterback, but by the chart value, they overpaid. Nick took the picks and then tried to get back up into the first round. By his words, they thought about getting back up into the first round, but they just played it cool and waited until 34.
Yeah. We'll have some of that Caserio for you later in the show. By the way, Nick is going to join us next week on the show. We just don't have a day nailed down yet, but he's going to join us next week in advance of rookie minicamp.
And he asked in one of his press conferences for somebody to define best player available, so I will define best player.
No, define need.
Drafting for need. Yeah. I will define drafting for need.
For
him.
Nick? Yes. You're going to do that?
Yes.
You're going to define drafting for need?
He asked somebody to define it for him, so I said, well, I can do that.
You're the hero he needs.
I can have artificial intelligence give me a definition give it to him.
I think you can even outdo AI on that one.
Actually, let's do it that way. We'll have artificial intelligence's definition, and then we'll have the Seth Payne definition.
There you go.
And see if he gets angry about either of them.
Okay, there you go. There you go. All right. That'll be next week. When we know what day it's going to be, we will let you all know. Here's a more positive feedback on the Texans draft class. Here's Chris Sims, former quarterback. We all know Chris Sims works with Mike Florio on NBC and on the NBC broadcasts on Sunday night. This is Chris Sims on the two rookie wide receivers the Texans are bringing in.
I like what they did. I did. I mean, I think first off, you couple Jaden Higgins along with Nico Collins on the outside. I mean, Jaden Higgins, he's not as fast and big play as Nico Collins, but can run routes. And of course, the size is real and all that. I love Jalen Noll to me is one of my favorites in the whole draft. I like it.
So he likes those two receivers right there. Noll is the one, Seth. You know, there's all these report cards out, and you and I talked about that. The grades that the Texans have gotten. In a lot of these articles, they give a grade, but they say, our favorite pick. Who's the best pick?
Right.
And I feel like if there was, you know, if there was some sort of way to tabulate the votes on that, on who the best pick is for the Texans, it feels like Jalen Noll has been the favorite pick of a lot of people in kind of a runaway, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
Matt
Miller had said that he actually thought Jalen Noll could be a first rounder. So he was very high on him. I would say the Jalen Noll pick is the one that the Texans are getting the most love for because there's a lot of people that felt like that was a real bargain to get him in the third round. I think that the two that they're getting the most criticism for from those same draft picks are Jalen Smith, Woody Marks. They're getting more criticism for Woody Marks,
and both
the running
guys.
Back in the fourth round.
Yeah.
A lot of people had a lot of other running backs. And the fact that the Texans traded up for Woody Marks, people are criticizing them for that.
Yeah, I think the two USC kids, Jalen Smith, a lot of the experts had him like a sixth, seventh rounder. They take him in the third. And Woody, and definitely, you're right, definitely Woody Marks as well. And I think the third thing would be that if you're going to take a quarterback in the sixth round, maybe Graham Mertz wasn't everybody's cup of tea there. You know,
right.
Prospect, but whatever.
Quibbling over sixth and seventh round quarterbacks is always interesting because it's like, listen, the chance of any of them actually making it in the league is infinitesimally small. So, what makes this guy so much definitively better than that guy?
That's right.
I don't know.
That's right. You know, I finally saw the video of Jalen Reed running around screaming, let's do it, let's do it. So you got the video. We've heard the phone call to D'Amico and Nick and Cal where he's just screaming like 15 times in a, like this, what Ben's doing here. Yeah, like just doing it while everybody's trying to talk to him. Like exactly that. He is running around his house. I don't know if you've seen the video. Like he's upstairs.
Super excited.
Yeah, he's walking across the catwalk. He got the part where he goes, Give me the Texans hat. You can hear him say that. This is the first I've ever seen this. We know that this is the case because nobody knows where they're getting drafted, but they all seem to magically have the correct hat when they get drafted. Well, it's because they've got all 32 hats. The table of hats is pretty cool to see that these guys have. Like the table, he had the table with all 32 hats spread out on it there. I'm like, peek behind the curtain.
You know, getting invited to the draft is one thing, but then whether or not they send you a hat, that's probably another little bit of a notch on like whether there's a lot of guys
rounder.
Out there. There's a lot of guys out there that didn't get sent a hat.
Yeah.
You know? Now maybe Jalen, maybe somebody went out and bought all those for him, or he bought them himself. I don't know.
That's like I want to ask somebody in the league how many people do they send a box full of 32 hats to? Do they send it to
You know what's well fun? It was sometimes when you go on the visit or when you meet, sometimes they'll give you a hat just when you meet with them. So you hold on to the hat.
Oh, I got you.
Or they give you apparel. I remember when I was a rookie, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a young, innocent, naive, stupid Seth Payne. And when the Jaguars D-line coach had come to work me out on campus, he said, oh, you know what? I was supposed to have some gear for you, and I forgot it here. And he took off his own he had, like, a really cool pullover that he had on. Like, he gave that to me. And he's like, here, take this. So no big deal, whatever. And I get drafted by the Jaguars. I had it. And I gave it to my stepfather.
Oh, that's cool.
Because he wasn't, the D-line coach wasn't quite my size.
Okay.
I gave it to my stepfather. So my stepfather's at camp watching my rookie year. And I don't know anything about anything. And he's standing as all the players are walking in one day after practice.
Yeah.
And the equipment manager stopped and said, oh, that's a cool pullover. Where'd you get that? This is Bobby Monica, old Italian guy that had been in the NFL forever and was like a hardcore badass, like kind of a, like everything you think about, like a tough old equipment manager who's Italian and maybe, like, I don't know, maybe had some mob connections somewhere back
in
the day.
Yeah.
He just, I was like, hey, where'd you get that? And my stepfather says, oh, my son, Seth Payne, gave it to me. And cool, he says.
Okay.
So I know nothing of this. I'm sitting in the, I'm just getting changed at my locker, and Bobby Monica comes up to me and he was like, you little son of a bitch, who the hell do you think you are? You're giving away team gear? You're giving away team gear? Like, you think you made it? You think you made it? I was like, whoa. And I thought, like, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Wow.
And I was like, John Pease gave it to me.
All of a sudden, we're a corporation, Seth showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to listen to the show to know that reference.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
funny. That's wild, dude. So you were a rookie, just
so
trying to make the
gear that wasn't. Yeah, it was like actual team gear that wasn't available for sale
in the store. Yeah like it's it was internal team gear. That's cool. You gave it to your stepfather.
I thought he was gonna break my thumbs. Man,
that would stress me out though. If I were a rookie trying to make the team, like the equipment.
Right, and the way he was talking about it was like I had just slept with the owner's daughter.
Right,
or something.
Right, dude.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's one of those things. Like the opinion of the longtime equipment manager. Now, it couldn't have been that long because the Jags were only 3 years old at that point. But, like, still probably a guy who knew a lot of people.
Well, no, but he'd been in the league forever.
Yeah,
he was, like, super – he was Dan Marino's guy.
Yeah,
you know? He was just –
So he's a respected voice around the league. Like
he was a made man.
A made guy. Yeah. So all of a sudden they got this rookie trying to make the team who's just giving away team gear to his
dad.
And
you don't know. It's like when you're new to any organization, you don't know what the norms are, and you just want, you know, you say something that you're never supposed to say or something. Yeah, I thought I'd really screwed up. I was stressed about that for like 3 days.
Then
like 3 days later, Bobby Monica came up to me and was like, hey, kid, don't worry about that. You know, and I was mistaken.
But he let you twist for 3 days, you know, like that's...
Yeah.
Oh.
He had to go confirm with John Pease, I think.
Yeah.
Bobby was the kind of guy that could flip out on you and have no memory of it whatsoever.
Right.
You know, he's like, oh, what? You got sensitive about that? Oh,
no,
sorry. I didn't realize.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's Bill O'Brien is what I hear you say right there.
Yeah.
Let's see. A lot of people weighing in on what they want the Rockets to do if indeed they're not able to complete this comeback. Big step in the right direction last night. A lot of Booker over KD. I'd rather have Booker than KD. I want Booker as a catch-and-shoot player willing to trade Jalen and Şengün for Booker. Are you willing to trade both Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün in a deal? That's interesting. Those are the two guys they have that are...
That's where I'd much rather give up draft compensation than one of those guys.
There'll be draft compensation, too.
Right, yeah. It's one thing to say that a guy isn't untouchable, but it's another thing to act like he's got no value at all.
Yeah.
So that would feel like, no, you're giving away too much young talent that's on the roster already for a guy that you really want, but you don't need to.
Yeah.
When you've got all this draft compensation sitting there in your gunpowder pile, then, yeah, no, I don't need to give up both those guys.
Şengün, this is a text. Şengün should be untouchable. He's averaging a double-double. He's our second leading scorer. Leads the team in rebounds, assists. Şengün also has more steals and blocks than Jalen Green. He's our most valuable player. He's a better player than Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün is. At least he's a more productive player and consistent player than Jalen Green. He's not untouchable. He's close.
Yeah, people attach untouchable to way too many people, man.
Yeah.
No. Untouchable is a special designation.
Yeah, yeah. And I
agree with everything you said about how his value and everything, but it's there's a limit.
Yep. Okay. If you text something like this, and you're going to need to be more specific. Don't listen to that texter. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right, okay,
We read a lot of texts. You're going to need to be more specific when you just. That's just a little advice if you choose to text the show.
Yeah, we don't see the texts in real time usually.
Right.
Sometimes, like, if we don't know you, we might not know what topic you're talking about or anything when you reference it.
That's correct.
I get it. We should do a better job of explaining that. Yeah. A lot of times, we're not seeing your text until like 5 minutes later.
Yeah. Text message. Heck no. Jalen can go, but not Şengün too. Who's going to play the big man role? He is skillful. I think Şengün, it becomes more of a topic of conversation if the trade is for Giannis. Giannis is, you know, and I'm not saying they're similar players in terms of their style. They're very different in terms of their style. But they, you know, they would be playing in a similar area of the floor, Şengün and Giannis. Not that you couldn't have them both out there at the same time. You got Steven Adams and Şengün out there. I think Alperen's game is versatile enough to where he can play with a lot of different type of big men out there. But he's expendable. Not expendable is probably, but he's not untouchable, is what we're saying. Şengün untouchable? Ask Luka about untouchable. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. We've got more fallout from Prankgate in the NFL. Punishment handed down yesterday to the Falcons and to Jeff Ulbrich, their defensive coordinator, for their roles in the prank call that his son instigated to Shedeur Sanders. And there was an apology as well. We'll grade Jeff Ulbrich's apology on the Payne and Pendergast apology scale coming up next. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Way too early 2026 mock draft from Jordan Reed on ESPN.com. We're not going to go through it. I am bookmarking it. Anything that says way too early on it, bookmark on Sean T. Pendergast Twitter timeline. I will take my bow right now, at least on GetUp. Coming up next, Luka Doncic exposed. Was Nico Harrison right about Doncic? Yes.
Damn.
Yes. All we need is a LeBron legacy, and I can close out my bingo card. Yes.
I hope so. And I think too many people forget this very simple thing in life, is that both sides can be wrong at times.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Yeah. There's there is room to both just love that both the Mavericks and the Lakers are potentially just disastrous. Yeah, it's 100% possible.
Well, now you can have that conversation about that deal. Like, would the Lakers have been better? They definitely would have been better served in this series to have had Anthony Davis on that team than Luka Doncic.
Except that he probably wouldn't be available anyway.
Well, maybe not. He was at the end of the year.
I mean, you know, butterfly effect. It doesn't mean he gets injured if he had remained. But he does. He gets injured every year.
He does. He did, conceding the fact that he might get injured. But if he were healthy, which he was when Dallas played in the play-in game there, he was healthy at the end of the season and playing well. They might have been better served, at least in this series. That was a bad matchup for them because they got no size on that team. And the Timberwolves have all kinds of size with Rudy Gobert, etc. So anyways, Lakers lose. And so I've got one headline I've got out of the way. All I need is a LeBron legacy caption on ESPN this morning, and I cash my ticket. So Prankgate. It's not really a gate because we know who the culprit was, but the prank call, amongst several prank calls that were made, not all of them were by Jeff Ulbrich, the Falcons defensive coordinator's son and his buddies at Ole Miss.
Yeah,
that's the most infamous one because they idiotically filmed themselves doing it. If you know the story by now, Shedeur Sanders got a prank call during day two of the draft. It was from a couple of kids from Ole Miss who had Shedeur Sanders' phone number. Turns out one of them was the defensive coordinator of the Falcons, Jeff Ulbrich's son, Jax, who literally took the number off his dad's iPad and wrote it down. And right. used it to call Shedeur Sanders.
This was confidential information and numbers that the NFL gives out to players just that are only supposed to be available to NFL personnel. So before anybody gets up in arms about what Sean's about to say, just remember it was a security breach first and foremost.
I'm not surprised by this. We never got to it yesterday, but I had in the rundown to ask you, do you think that Jeff Ulbrich should be punished in some way over this?
Yeah, I think that it's his son shouldn't have done. I know a lot of people are defending his son or various other people for, hey, it's just a prank phone call. No, this was his son grabbed confidential information off of his dad's iPod, or tablet.
Yeah.
And Ulbrich is guilty of just being too free and loose and trusting of his family.
Leaving it out there. Yeah, right. Of all the places you think you could leave it out there, it would be in your house. You know, like you do it at a Starbucks or something like that. Definitely on you. You would think that in your own house you could leave it there. So, now, that said, you know, the protocol, I'm sure, with the NFL is anytime you walk away from your, I'm just going to say iPad, you know, it's a tablet. Anytime you walk away from it, you log off or you close it. You make so that nobody can look at it. Even in your, obviously now, even in your own house, the punishment that was handed down by the league was the Falcons. Poor Arthur Blank. Like, what the hell? I'm getting fined. Falcons are getting fined $250K, and Jeff Ulbrich himself is getting fined $100,000. Here was his apology, Jeff Ulbrich's apology yesterday at his media session to Shedeur Sanders.
To publicly apologize to Shedeur and the Sanders family for what occurred. Second of all, I want to publicly apologize to Mr. Blaine, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire Falcons organization. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself, and we will not be appealing the fine in any way. Okay. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this.
This,
again, I'm deeply sorry for our actions.
This is about this. This, Seth, hits the Payne and Pendergast elements of an apology on the screws.
Yeah, he didn't make excuses
on the screws.
I've got
the elements right here.
Okay,
say you're sorry. He said the word "I'm sorry." Yeah. Say what it is you're apologizing for. Be specific. I don't know if he mentioned the tablet or anything.
He mentioned the left. It was the transgression was exposing confidential information.
So he mentioned that.
Yeah.
Show you understand why it was bad. Take ownership and show that you understand why you caused hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did that.
Did he? I don't know if he didn't really. He did it. Did he really say, like, hey, Shedeur, I understand what it must be like.
No,
I feel that I ruined your day. I didn't mean to be any part of ruining your weekend or whatever.
I guess I'm probably overweighting the take on. I thought he took ownership of it.
Yeah, he totally took ownership. To be the perfect apology.
You're right.
We can't be
Chad Reuter on this. We have to grade difficult. Don't make excuses. He didn't do that. He's ding for that. Say why it won't happen again, what steps you are taking. He wasn't specific, but he did talk about moving forward, .. Do we give him credit for that?
It'd be hard in this situation because exactly how is he going to not do this again to Shedeur Sanders? I promise that as long as you're in the NFL, I'll never expose any other confidential information I have about you.
Yeah. If it's relevant, make reparations. I don't think it's relevant. There's nothing you can do.
Well, the reparations might be that if he faces Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback, he goes ahead and gives a little bit of info up. Like, Shedeur, these are the blitzes that we're game planning for you this week.
What's our grade for this apology?
I'd give it it's hard. Like, I would say a B+.
It's good.
Well enough. I don't think he didn't show as much empathy as he might have, could have, I guess. Yeah.
Can you imagine? I know it's the NFL, and once you start fining people, it's really funny money. Like $250K to Arthur Blank is a speeding ticket. Now Jeff Ulbrich, I would imagine, made good money in his career. He's been a defensive coordinator in the NFL. That's a high six-figure, if not seven-figure job.
Well, no, they're usually making seven figures.
Yeah. So he's made a bunch of money. I don't care how much money you've made. If your kid makes a mistake where you're scratching a check for $100,000, that hurts.
Dude, that's honestly, I did the math.
$100,000.
Sean, if you're going to make, and not to mention your employer, $250,000.
Right.
So if you're going to do one of the classic things you do when your kid screws up, make them work it off.
Yeah.
You know, your kid breaks the neighbor's window. Like, all right, well, you're going to go mow his lawn for X number of hours or something to work that off.
Yeah.
Ulbrich's kid. If the average lawn worker makes $19 an hour, he's going to have to work 18,421 hours to make up that $350,000.
Wait, say that again. Hold on. Say that again. How many?
The average lawn worker makes $19 an hour. Okay. And he's an adult, you know, like, so he's actually out there doing the work
he's
of an adult.
He's 21 years old, yeah.
Yeah. So that's 18,421 hours of labor.
It's going to take a while.
To make up
man.
For it.
It's going to take a
while. The Falcons' facilities are going to be immaculate.
Oh, dude. The shrubbery.
Have him out there working 16 hours a day trying to work up to that.
Yeah.
He might have to just garnish his wages from whenever he's probably a junior or senior in college. Wherever he gets his job, just garnish 10% of his paycheck until he pays it off.
Here's my question. He's 38 years old, still getting his wages garnished.
The kid probably doesn't have school loans, right?
Yeah, you know, no,
so
probably
like,
not.
Yeah. Sorry. Wait, welcome to the real world.
That's
like
right.
Everybody else, you're going to have to work off your school loans.
Got to pay the piper.
Slash punitive measures from the NFL.
Got to pay the piper, man. This question is for the audience and for you, Seth, if you've got a good answer to it. But, like, what's the most expensive mistake that you made as a kid, like for your parents? I would imagine for, like, 90% of the people out there, it's going to be some form of a car accident, of, like, a fender bender, right? That was probably mine. Like, I got into an accident when I was 16. You know, I was in a parking lot. I was, you know, we didn't even have cell phones back there to distract me. I don't know why, but I pulled out of a parking spot, blammo, right into a guy. And that cost my parents a lot of money that eventually I kind of worked off doing different things.
Yeah. Honestly, I had to pay for all my car stuff. So I got in a few accidents, but I had to pay for everything with my car.
Yeah.
So I don't think I ever did. I was just so terrified of my parents that I don't think I ever had some kind of misstep to where they had to cough up big money for something.
The most embarrassing thing I think I may have done to my parents, because they made me apologize. I was like 6 years old, and there was a cookout going on at our neighbor's house, and I had to go to the bathroom. I had to pee really, really bad. I was like six. So I went to the driveway of our neighbor's house where I thought nobody could see me, and I peed in between the cars in the driveway there. And I think my mom or dad walked up and like, what are you doing? Like, they were the only ones that saw me. They made me go over the next day and apologize to the owners of the house that I was peeing behind the cars in their driveway. I had to go. Can you imagine being a six-year-old having to go apologize for peeing in somebody's driveway? How traumatizing.
A six-year-old peeing is never a big deal. It's cute.
Yeah.
So your neighbors were upset about it?
No, my parents were upset about it. My neighbors didn't even know.
It's not like you peed on the car.
No,
and ate away
I just had to go, man.
Like
I wasn't
that.
Doing it as a prank. I was doing it because I had to pee.
Kids are allowed to pee wherever they want, right? What's the age at which you're not allowed? I feel like as long as you're 10 or under, you're allowed to pee wherever you want. I mean, within reason. Like, no, not in the middle of the shopping mall, but outside.
Yeah,
go pee over there.
I feel like it was back at a time where the rules were a little more forgiving with that kind of stuff, too. It was 1975,
I had no idea you grew up in such a draconian household.
That's the weird thing. My parents were not super strict, but for whatever reason, they're like, you're going to go apologize to the Selhoffers tomorrow that you peed in their driveway. I'm like, they don't even know.
This is why I don't have a good answer for you, Sean.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you some of me coughing up some of my hard-earned money for other people's mistakes when I was a kid. The most ironic thing that ever happened with me and my very interesting relationship with my father was when I was 19 years old, you know, and I worked on farms in the summer. I had cash, like I wasn't, but I worked really hard for my money. It was when I had to go bail my dad out of jail because he'd been arrested for, wait for it, delinquent child support. So he called up his oldest son, his second oldest child to have his child come bail him out of jail for delinquent child support from his second wife.
I need a documentary on your dad so bad, man. Oh my god. All right.
Oh no, the other time, real quick.
Okay,
we'll do it after the break.
Okay,
we'll do it after one's hilarious.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll save that. That's a good tease. We'll also get to Nick Caserio on Texans All Access talking about he was revealing on this about some of the things the Texans were looking to do in the draft last week. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.